Welcome to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi. Join us in person for worship each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. For more information about Covenant, including discipleship and mission opportunities, visit us at www.covenantpresjackson.org.
God called Abraham. God spoke to Abraham, promised that he would make him into a great nation, that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the night sky. But Abraham had no child. Abraham was in his 70s and had no child, but God promised him a son. God promised him an heir. Then Ishmael was born, the son of Hagar, servant to his wife Sarah. Ishmael would be blessed by God. Ishmael would father a great nation, but he was not the heir. In fact, in obedience to the Lord, Abraham had sent Ishmael away out of his home, out of his life. God promised that Sarah would have a son. Even in her old age, a son, he would be Abraham's heir. And the Lord was faithful. And when Abraham was 100 years old, when Sarah was in her 90s, God made the impossible possible. Sarah gave birth to a son, Isaac, whose name means he laughs. His coming was the occasion of laughter. It was the occasion of joy. Isaac was a miracle child. He was a child of the promise, both fulfilled promise and future promise. For God promised Abraham that he would establish his covenant with Isaac and with the offspring of Isaac. God promised that nations would come through Isaac. Kings would descend from Isaac. The boy grew. And Abraham grew to love him more and more. Then, once again, the Lord spoke to Abraham. Listen to verse 2 again. Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Now, God's word to Abraham is bewildering. It's unsettling. In fact, it's distressing. He tells Abraham to take Isaac, the son of the promise, the son that he loved, the miracle child who had brought laughter, and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, this would require not only burning him, but also slaughtering, butchering his son. Now, can you imagine if God spoke to you the same words about your child or one of your children? Or if you're not a parent, can you imagine if God spoke these same words to you about someone that you love dearly? Offer him as a burnt offering. Now, how could God make such a request? Isaac was a gift. Isaac was a miracle. Isaac was a promise fulfilled. All the other promises that God had given Abraham were through Isaac. Yet now God wanted Abraham to offer him. God wanted Abraham to kill him. How would you respond? What would you do in this situation? Pray? Would you question God? Would you argue with God? Would you ask God for a sign just to be sure that you heard him right? Would you talk it over with someone? Seek counsel from those you considered wise? Would you delay? Would you ignore? What would you do? Abraham obeys. Abraham obeys. No questioning, no lamenting, no words of protest, no words in anger, no talking it over, no delays, no ignoring. Abraham obeys God's word. He rises early the next morning and he obeys. He rises early the next morning and he walks in faith, step by step in faith, saddling the donkey, summoning two of his servants, cutting wood, and getting his son. And then they set out on a three-day journey. Can you imagine 3 days like this? Every step taking you closer and closer and closer to the sacrifice, to the offering. Now, if you're like me, you wonder what was Abraham thinking on this three-day journey? Did he wrestle? Did he struggle? Did he weep? Was he able to sleep at all at night? Did he talk? Did he talk to Isaac on the way? Did he talk to his servants on the way? Or was he quiet? Was he withdrawn? Was he isolated by his thoughts and what was about to happen? We're not told. We're only told that Abraham obeyed. We're only told that he walked in faith, step by step in faith. They traveled 3 days to the land of Moriah. And the only other mention of Moriah in the scriptures is in 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 3, verse 1, which reads, "Then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah." Moriah was the mountain in Jerusalem upon which God's temple was built. Now, when they saw the mountain, Abraham instructs his servants to stay. And listen again to what he tells them, what else he tells them in verse 8. Abraham says, "I and the boy will go over there and worship and come to you again." He tells his servants that they're going to worship. Worship. Perhaps at the very spot where in the future countless of God's people would come to worship, would ascend and offer sacrifice, would offer burnt offerings within the temple of God. And there, Abraham was going to offer his own sacrifice, his own burnt offering, his son. But notice that Abraham tells the servants that they will both return. He says that they'll both worship and they'll both come back. Now, how could Abraham make such a promise? How could he make such a statement knowing what God had asked him to do? Well, the answer is this: faith. Faith. God told him to sacrifice Isaac, yes. But God had also promised that nations would come from Isaac. God had also promised that kings would descend from Isaac. Now, Abraham did not know exactly how it would happen. Abraham did not know exactly what would happen. He didn't know the details. He didn't understand the details. But he knew this, that God is faithful. God's true to his promises. Abraham had witnessed it in his own life over and over again. God had been faithful to him, faithful even when he was unfaithful. He would sacrifice Isaac, for God had spoken it to him. But they would both return, because God had promised him. And holding these two in two different hands, Abraham took another step in faith, up the mountain, carrying the knife and the fire, while Isaac carried the wood. Now, this little detail, Isaac carrying the wood, shows us that Isaac's no longer a child, but he is old enough. Doesn't say how old he is, but he's old enough, he's strong enough to carry a bundle of wood on his back and to carry it up the mountain. And as they ascend, Isaac speaks for the first time. And he asks his father a question. He asked Abraham a simple question: where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham has the knife. He has the fire. Isaac has the wood. Everything except the sacrifice. Where is it? Listen again to Abraham's answer in verse 8. And verse 8 is really the heart of this passage. Abraham says, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." At first glance, Abraham's words may seem ambiguous or misleading, but they're words of faith. They're words of trust. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then Abraham takes another step of faith. He builds the altar. He arranges the wood. And then he binds Isaac. Isaac, who does not struggle, he doesn't fight, perhaps out of duty or respect or trust of his father, he doesn't fight. And Abraham lays him on the altar, lays him on the wood, and then Abraham takes the knife and he raises the knife ready to slaughter his son. It's a horrific moment. That one moment is a horrific moment. Isaac on the altar, Isaac on the wood, Abraham with his arm raised with the knife. It's a moment that Danish writer Soren Kierkegaard ponders in a book titled Fear and Trembling. It's a short work that explores the faith of Abraham. And Kierkegaard wonders, in that one moment, in that horrific moment, knife raised, he wonders, what if Abraham flinched? What if his hand holding the knife shook? Would that be true faith? Would that cause Isaac to later wonder if his father had true faith? But Abraham does neither. And just as Abraham is about to strike his son, just about as he is about to lower the knife, a voice calls from heaven, the voice of an angel, the messenger of God, bringing the word of God, who says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for I now know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son. Then Abraham looked up, and there was a ram caught in a thicket. God had provided. The lamb would be an offering instead of his son. The lamb would die instead of Isaac. Now, the binding of Isaac, the sacrifice of Isaac, points to another sacrifice, because each of us is like Isaac. Not in the sense of being offered as a sacrifice, but we're each like Isaac here in this moment in that we're bound. We're bound. The truth is this, you are bound by sin. You're held in the shackles of sin, your own sin and the power of sin. You're bound and you're helpless, and there's a knife above you, a knife above you, a knife pointed at you, ready to strike, because sin has a punishment, and that punishment is death, death and fire. But just like Isaac, God provided a lamb. God sent a lamb. John the Baptist referred to this lamb in our New Testament reading from John chapter 1. John the Baptist says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, Jesus. Jesus. God's son, his only son, his beloved son, the lamb. He lifts you up off of the wood. He removes your bonds and he takes your place on the wood. He takes your place under the knife. Because Jesus takes your punishment for sin, he dies in your place on the cross as a sacrifice, as an offering, so that you might live. He dies so that you might live. Live as a child of the living God. Live as a child of the Heavenly Father. And so that you might live with him forever, so that you might worship, so that you might walk down the mountain and walk in faith, step by step in faith. The Lord provided a lamb. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And together, father and son worshiped the Lord. And together, just as Abraham said, he and Isaac descended the mountain. And together, they returned to the two servants. again. Why did God ask this of Abraham? If he was going to be faithful to his promises, why do this to Abraham? Well, verse 1 lets us know. Listen to part of verse 1 again. After these things, God tested Abraham. This was a test. This was a test of faith. There are times when God tests his people. And there are times when God tests you. Not to test you to sin. God does not tempt you to sin. This is to test the quality of your faith. This is to test where you are in your faith. And the point is to stretch you, and the point is to grow you in faith, in obedience to your faithful Father, to the saving Lamb, to the sanctifying Spirit. For the life of a Christian, the life of one who has been rescued from death and fire, is a life of faith, like Abraham, walking in faith, following Jesus Christ in faith, step by step in faith, obeying his commands in faith. Eugene Peterson is a Presbyterian pastor and an author. He's probably best known for his translation of the Bible, The Message. One of his other books has this as a title: Long Obedience in the Same Direction. Long obedience in the same direction. In this book, he writes how the Christian faith is countercultural in the world, the present day world in which we live, a world of mobile phones and Google and Amazon Prime and Netflix and DoorDash, a world that's quick and immediate and now and at once. Christianity is not like that. The life of faith is not like that. It's a long obedience in the same direction, meaning it's slow, it's steady, it's patient, it's disciplined, it's sustained, it's tested. Like Abraham, it's step by step by step. Now, God won't test you the same way he tested Abraham, but he will test you. And when he tests you, you might not know it's a test. Abraham didn't know it's a test. But that test may involve sacrifice. It may involve giving up time, money, goals, aspirations, security, comfort. It might involve giving up something that you love, maybe something that you're holding on too tight or relying on too much, over and above your Savior. And a test of faith in this long obedience in the same direction, this test of faith is always a call to obedience, like Abraham. Rise up early and walk step by step, even when it's hard, even when it seems impossible, even when it seems like something that you could never do, like love your neighbor. Yes, even that one. Or love your enemy. Or tithe. Or maybe give up some travel in your life so that you can worship more regularly, or invite someone to worship, or share your faith, what you believe, or serve in an area that you never thought that you might, and see what God does. And when you are faithful, when you take that step in faith, when you take that step in obedience toward Moriah up the mountain, you grow. When God stretches you, you're growing, and you grow closer to him, and you grow more like his Son, and you grow in your faith, and you grow in your capacity of faith. And then you'll be tested again. And you'll be asked to take another step. And another. And when you falter, because you will, when you take a step back or two steps back or three steps back, or when you fall by the way, you will still be called to take another. And another. Your whole life. It's a long obedience in the same direction. And remember, the Lord will start growing your faith in small ways and then giving you more and more as you grow, because Abraham had been faithfully following the Lord for 30 years or more when he was called to sacrifice his son. That was not the first step. It wasn't the second step or the fifth step. God is faithful. Abraham knew. Abraham had seen. God provided the lamb, and he's provided a lamb for you. And through this lamb, he gives you promises, forgiveness, and eternal life, and his presence with you always. Your Father is faithful. Walk in faith. Walk in obedience to the glory of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world and who takes away your sin.
Thank you for tuning in to Witness, a ministry of Covenant Presbyterian Church in Jackson, Mississippi.